Good morning, and welcome to our service. Today we observe the anniversary of Pentecost, when Jesus sent us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to aid us in our faith life. We begin our service with a prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you are the only true and living God. By your grace, you called us to be your children and have invited us to come before you in worship and praise. Grant that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, so that our worship is pleasing in your sight. Let your saving grace work in our hearts and cause us to grow in our faith and love for you. May you strengthen us for the week to come, that in all things we may live as your dear children, and give all glory to your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the hymn 497, Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord. Please stand. Our service continues on the top of page 3 in the bulletin. And we conduct this Pentecost Sunday in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the following is a responsive reading from Joel that prophesies of the Spirit's special coming in the New Testament age. Praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. We join to make confession of our sins. Almighty and most merciful Father, I have strayed from your paths like a lost sheep. Out of my heart have come evil thoughts, emotions, and desires. I have offended against your holy law of love in my words and actions. I am truly sorry for all my offenses of thought, word, and deed. Have mercy on me and forgive me for Jesus' sake. Restore me and revive my spirit according to the promise you have declared to me in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my heart with your love that I may lead a godly and righteous life to the glory of your name. Lift up your hearts in peace and joy. The Lord God, according to his promise, is slow to anger and abounding in mercy and love. By the command and in the stead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We pray. Holy Spirit, God and Lord, come to us this joyful day with your sevenfold gift of grace. Rekindle in our hearts the holy fire of your love, so that in a true and living faith we may tell abroad the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is from the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. In the early years of this world, everybody spoke the same language. The only problem is that a vast majority of them were unbelievers who joined their forces against God and his kingdom. You see how the Lord took care of that. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Please join me in the following responsive reading found in the bulletin on page 4. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, saying, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Praise and thanks be to God, to you, O Lord, for sending your Spirit on Pentecost. Continue to send the Holy Spirit to your church, O Lord, to aid us in the spread of the gospel of salvation. Our next reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning with verse 26, where Jesus speaks of sending that special helper to us, the Holy Spirit. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Please stand. We join in confessing our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Please note that in the final verse of hymn 498, we ask that you would all stand. And stanza 7. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of our Lord that we consider on this Pentecost Sunday is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 37 to 47. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." That those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, who promised to send us a helper, the Holy Spirit, to aid us in our faith life, our Christian fellowship, and our mission as Christians, witnesses, dear fellow redeemed. Looking back to the events of the first Pentecost Sunday in the early days of the church, is there anything about the work of the Holy Spirit that strikes you as being truly amazing? Are you at all filled with marvel at the supernatural way that the Holy Spirit came to the people that day on that first Pentecost Sunday? The wind that came out of heaven and made its way like a mighty rushing wind through the streets of the city to gather people around the apostles. How about the fire-like tongues suddenly appearing on the heads of believers that day? Or the extraordinary supernatural feat, linguistic feat of these disciples of Christ beginning to speak in languages that they had never learned before. Miraculous, supernatural acts would quite understandably cause us to be amazed and astounded, because they're above and beyond the realm of ordinary, everyday occurrences. But then, since we have heard and learned about these over and over again from our childhood, perhaps that wonder that we once had as children is gone. Worn off. Looking over the other acts of the Holy Spirit recorded in our text, we find that they were of such a nature that we should never really cease to marvel at them. They're truly amazing, because the Holy Spirit brought about a number of extraordinary changes as sinful man that we would naturally not expect to occur. First of all, the opening words of our text tells of the Apostle Peter concluding the Pentecost sermon meditation, and upon hearing of the apostles preaching in public about the crucified and risen Savior. What's truly amazing about it, well, some people say, well, it's not so amazing that there were so many people who were gathered together. Well, consider what happened with Peter what took place with him about a month and a half just prior to this. How Peter was in that courtyard where Jesus was standing trial. And Peter, being scared for his life, that he'd be numbered among one of Jesus' disciples and suffer the same fate as Jesus, three times Peter vehemently denied and disowned Jesus as if he was a part of his group of disciples. Fearing for his life, we don't hear him staying by Jesus' side until he died, like he claimed. He said to Jesus, I'll never forsake you even if I have to die with you. And when Sunday came, Peter, along with the other disciples, were cowering behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, that they would come along and they would arrest them and cause them to suffer the same fate as their Lord, cause them to be crucified as well, put to death. What a complete change seen in Peter and the other disciples on Pentecost Sunday. Instead of denying Christ and running and hiding for his life, Peter could be found out in the public, out in the open, publicly and boldly confessing Christ. Were there any Jewish leaders in their midst? Leaders who were involved in having Jesus put to death? Perhaps, very likely. But Peter didn't show any signs of being afraid concerning what they could do to him. What caused this complete change with Peter? It wasn't a matter of Peter putting his mind to it or having a stiff upper lip. The risen Lord Jesus told his followers to wait in Jerusalem until he sent them his helper. And this helper wouldn't be none other than the Holy Spirit, who would not only remind them of his teachings, but he would also give them the spiritual courage to testify of him, even in the face of fierce threats of being put to death. Peter's courageous witnessing of Christ in the stronghold of Jesus' enemies was due to an amazing act of the Holy Spirit, giving them courage to speak out and testify of Christ. This amazing act of the Spirit extended beyond the apostles of Christ. Shortly after this, there was a persecution that broke out in Jerusalem, and Christians scattered in many different directions. What did they do when they settled in a new area? They shared the Christian faith with their neighbors. They weren't afraid of what they thought or would do to them. Do you ever have a timid or fearful spirit about talking to others about your Christian beliefs? So that you remain silent? Oh, you may not experience the fearful kind of persecution that the early church was faced with. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus does not want us to hide our Christian light under a basket out of a sense of fear. Even as he promised and sent the Holy Spirit to help the apostles and the other early Christians in that day to overcome their fears of speaking out for Christ, so also he does the same for us. Even as he promised to send help to those early Christians, the Holy Spirit has been promised to be sent to us. The question is, are we drawing upon that divine source of help? Do we pray to the Holy Spirit that when God gives us the opportunity to share our faith, do we pray to the Spirit to give us courage and confidence to share our faith with others so that they learn about their Savior? The second amazing act of the Spirit in our text is a kind of response that Peter's sermon received, especially when we consider the audience. And the large crowd gathered to listen to Peter were Jews, who out of their mouths just a short time ago, month and a half before this, they were crying out for Jesus to be put to death. Peter drew attention to this when he said in his sermon to them, him, Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Even though those Jews had not personally been involved in taking the nails and the hammer and driving the nails into Jesus' hands and in his feet, they also shared the responsibility because they pressured Pontius Pilate to crucify Jesus. Now we find these same people who had cried out for Jesus to be put to death, being stricken with a guilty conscience and crying out for mercy with a sorrowful spirit for having put to death the Lord of glory. And then we hear of them receiving Jesus in faith as their Lord and Savior from sin, and being baptized in the name of Jesus and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what is really an amazing turnaround is from, first of all, crying out for Jesus' blood to them putting their faith and trust in Jesus' shed blood for them for the forgiveness of their blood guiltiness. If you would have been alive that day, would you have expected this kind of change of heart in people who had cried out for Jesus to be put to death? Are you acquainted with individuals who are so worldly and so godless that you've given up hope that they would be willing to listen about their Savior? Or maybe someone who has turned away in unbelief and have given themselves over to the worldly ways, would you expect them to be willing to listen to you? Never give up hope, for consider the amazing act of the Spirit in turning around the hearts of so many unbelieving Jews on Pentecost Sunday. 3,000 souls were brought to faith that day. How did the Holy Spirit accomplish this amazing act? It wasn't due to the Apostle Peter having a charismatic and a charming personality. Nor was it due to him being able to speak in a very eloquent way. No. If you carefully look over Peter's sermon recorded in the Bible, you'll find the hymn proclaiming God's word in a clear, simple, and straightforward manner, as he lovingly exposed sin in the hearts of the hearers, of their guilt, and gave testimony of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's it. Clear, simple message of law and gospel. In response to their plea for mercy and salvation, Peter simply said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The Holy Spirit, working through the clear and simple word of God, turned the hearts of these people around so that many were brought to faith that day. The Spirit convicted, convinced, and converted their hearts. We don't convert anybody. We just simply share the simple truths of God. We also find reference to the Holy Spirit using baptism an amazing way of bringing little babies to faith. Truly remarkable. Remember, Peter said that This promise is not only for the adults of receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and forgiveness and eternal salvation, it's also for your children, your little children. So amazingly, the Holy Spirit works through baptism to give them faith to believe in Jesus. Little babies. This basic means by which the Holy Spirit caused his amazing work to come about to convert so many people on that day never should be lost on us. Otherwise, we could very easily be caught up trying to gain or to regain souls for God's kingdom through popular use of man-made programs and gimmicks and superficial trappings. What does Paul say? The power is found in the gospel. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So another amazing act of the Spirit is the religious unity which he blessed the first Christian congregation in Jerusalem with. We find this in verses 42 and 46 of our text where it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer, so continuing daily with one accord in agreement in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God." As those early Christians joined in various acts of Christian fellowship, like singing hymns, offering up prayers, celebrating the Lord's Supper, they did so with a oneness of mind and heart. They were agreed on the teachings of Christ. They shared a common confession of faith. They were in complete agreement, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. To hear this may not sound so amazing or so astounding to us. If we've grown up in our Christian fellowship, we learned and had this from early on. The Christians were agreed in the teachings of Christ, and on that basis they worshiped together, prayed together. Some would say it's impossible. It's impossible for Christians to be completely agreed in the teachings of Christ. And there are people who say that's not necessary. That's not important that we be agreed in the teachings of Christ. Have a common confession. It's impossible. The Holy Spirit makes it possible. He gives us understanding and knowledge and faith and a common confession. God opens our eyes to see, our minds to understand, our hearts to believe, and our mouths to confess the one wonderful truth of God's Word found in the Bible. And the final feature of our text that draws our attention to the amazing acts of the Holy Spirit is a Christian spirit of mutual love and generous acts of fellow Christians. Charity. Verses 44 and 45, we read of this. "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need." What an amazing act of Christian community. The members of the Christian congregation in Jerusalem had such a loving concern for their fellow Christians. If they saw that there were some Christians that were in need, they helped them. And if they didn't have money in the bank, they went and sold some of their property so they had something to share with those who were in need. This is what we call sacrificial giving. When you consider our natural tendency of being selfish and self-serving, it's truly amazing to hear of such a display of Christian love and charity. This kind of spirit can only be possible by working of the Holy Spirit through the gospel of Christ. In and through the message of the good news, the Spirit of God changes our cold and selfish hearts into loving, generous, self-giving hearts as we keep before our eyes the ultimate act of love and self-giving found in our Savior Jesus. The Lord of glory, he became poor so that we could become spiritually and eternally rich. Jesus gave up his throne on high and came to this earth and became the lowest servant of all mankind, all sinful people. He who is the God over all, who commands us to obey him, Jesus put himself under his own commandments, and he willingly kept them all for us to be our righteousness. And Jesus, who will come in the last day to judge the world, Jesus allowed himself to be brought under the Heavenly Father's hellish judgment and punishment so that we could be declared not guilty, forgiven, eternally saved. This is the powerful message that the Holy Spirit uses to change our selfish, self-serving hearts into selfless, self-giving hearts that lovingly and generously help those in need, especially those of the Christian fellowship. What an amazing act of the Holy Spirit this is. Thank God the Holy Spirit for such amazing acts that he carries out in our midst. May we never cease to marvel at them. And may the Spirit of God continue those amazing acts among us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. Holy Spirit, Divine Counselor, who on First Pentecost established the New Testament Christian Church through the preaching and hearing of the Word of Truth, continue to bless this Word, both upon the lips of Christ's witnesses and upon the hearts of all who hear, that countless souls may trust in Jesus alone as their Savior. Divine Helper, we praise you as the giver of all truth and the exalter of Jesus Christ, for you have given our Lord's saving word to us sinners and exalted him in our hearts by calling us to faith. Thanks to you, we are now reborn children of God and joint heirs of heavenly glory with our Savior. Comfort us through our faith, and having begun your work in us, continue it to our end. Therefore dwell in us as teacher and protector of God's truth, making us grow in our faith, in our knowledge of salvation, and in our love for God. Keep us from falling prey to false teaching and unbelief. Having brought us to faith and called us to righteousness, you have commissioned our bodies to be your holy temple and dwelling place. But how can you live in a house made filthy by sin or hostile to your presence through unbelief? Sanctify, therefore, our every thought, word, and deed, O Spirit of light and life. Help us to crucify our flesh with its sinful lusts and to walk according to our new man, directed always by you. Adorn our lives with the fruits of faith and thereby manifesting your presence in us. Produce in us such fruits as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You have promised to give us a greater measure of your spiritual gifts than we desire or ask for. Remind us always that we are God's beloved children by faith in Christ, so that we need never hesitate to bring all our wants, our troubles, our worries, our desires, our hurts, and our illnesses to Him for help and healing. Filled with your grace, may we have the boldness to witness Christ's saving name to an unbelieving world, ever confessing and never denying that He is Lord and Savior. Because our bodies are your temples, our sins must grieve you deeply. Do not on their account abandon us, but pardon us for Jesus' sake, to the glory of His name, which you have placed in our hearts and on our lips. And in His name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, Holy Spirit, Light Divine. Please stand. We join a responsive reading taken from Psalm 96. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established and shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We conclude our service with a final hymn. Please note that I ask you to stand for the last stanza. Please be seated. Good morning. Good morning. Following the service this morning, the church council will be meeting. Tuesday, the Board of Ed meets at 5:30. Next Sunday, regular worship at 10. And then on that same day, there will be an open house for Jordan Harillo, who is graduating from Stanford. The open house is from 4 to 8. And this will be at the Harillo home. Tomorrow, Barb and I are going to be traveling to the Midwest. We'll have a chance to visit some family, and also I'll be attending the General Pastor Conference the following week. On June 22nd, after the worship service, there will be the Schmidt Farewell Luncheon, to which all are invited to come for. On the 29th, the last Sunday in the month, there will be a women's auxiliary meeting at 11. And then please note that there will be Vacation Bible School in July, 21st to 25th. And if you know of any families with young children, there's a little postcard that you can pick up and share with them to invite their children to our VBS. There's also sign-up sheets on the lectern in the entryway, one for the Vacation Bible School and the other for the church picnic that will be in July. Also, please note that the coordinating council reports, there's a four-sheet, four-sided sheet summarizing the coordinating council reports. If you do not want to plow through the whole coordinating council's report, there's a good summary of it. And that's found on the cabinet underneath the stairs. May God in his grace be with you always.